Nathan Fraser Show, episode 105, The European Union continues its attack on small business owners. All right, here we go.
Mixing business with politics. This is The Nathan Fraser Show.
What is up, a free market squad? It's your boy Nathan Fraser, the high priest of propaganda, back up in this bitch for another episode of The Nathan Fraser Show. Thank you, first of all, for taking the time out of your day to hang with me. And we're going to be talking today about Articles 11 and 13 that recently passed in the EU. This episode is going to be all about censorship, info products, online privacy, patents, copyrights. We're gonna run the whole gamut and talk about all of these things from a business owner's perspective, from a free speech advocate perspective. This is going to be a very all over the place episode of The Nathan Fraser Show. Before we jump into it, though, I do want to say thank you for kicking it with me for the next half hour or so, and I do appreciate that. So if you don't know, Article 11 and Article 13, they passed yesterday in the EU. They just have to be ratified now. I think next January or maybe April next year sometime, these are supposed to be ratified by the European Union, set into official law in the European Union. And a lot of people have no idea what I'm even talking about right now. A lot of people haven't even heard of Article 11 and Article 13 of the EU. And so we're going to be talking about that today. And we're going to be talking about how this is going to affect small business owners, initially only in the EU, only in the European Union. But as we saw recently with the GDPR, the EU passed a law for the EU and then just took it upon themselves to enforce it upon the entire world. I don't imagine that they won't try the same thing with Article 13 and Article 11. And that terrifies me as both an online entrepreneur and as a privacy and free speech advocate, as a libertarian slash anarchist. I am not very happy with what I'm seeing going on in the European Union right now. And so we're going to be talking about that. And let's just first of all talk about what Article 13 and what Article 11 are. And I'm going to cover each one. Not like in depth. If this topic intrigues you and you want to go check it out, definitely go do some more research online. Go read the articles yourself. Basically, what they are, though, and I'm going to just kind of give a summation of each one. Article 13 is intended, the claim, the reason, the justification for it is that they want to shut down online piracy. Online piracy is out of control, and we need laws, stricter laws to prohibit and restrict the ability for people to pirate things online. This includes movies, music, literature, etc. The problem is how this is going to affect everyday internet usage. So first of all, the first thing is memes. Memes are prohibited under the Article 13 legislation. And the reason why is because the overwhelming majority of memes use copywritten material. They take a clip from Game of Thrones, and then they say something like, prepare yourself, winter is coming, prepare yourself, memes about memes in the EU are coming. They take pictures from Drake videos, and they make comparisons, positive and negative comparison memes. They take clips from C-SPAN with Bill Clinton and Jesse Jackson checking out Aria Grande's ass, and they turn it into memes. The majority of memes out there come from copywritten material. And since that's the case, the majority of memes out there under Article 13 are now deemed illegal in the EU, and it's illegal to post these memes. Transformative use. In America, we have this thing called transformative use. It's basically if you take something and you transform it in some sort of way, it becomes fair use. You're allowed to use it. Examples, the most ready examples would be like Andy Warhol taking pictures of Campbell's soup cans and painting them differently and then not being hit with copyright suits. The majority of what memes are fall under transformative use. The majority of what people do on YouTube, where they take a lot of the YouTube commentators, they take articles from the news, they take articles from magazines, they take segments of the news and they comment on them. They play a little bit of the segment and then they give their counter rebuttal to what the news representative or the news person said in the program. They take articles that are coming out on websites and they go through and they talk, they rebut or they agree with and they give their own two cents. This is like a huge aspect of what goes on YouTube. A majority of videos out there, a majority of constant content creators out there, this is their entire business model. And it's going to be illegal once the EU ratifies Article 13. Article 11 is something that they're calling the link tax. Basically what this is that if you link out to anything, you will be hit with a tax. You'll have to pay a tax for linking to other people's material. So if you do a video talking about something that you saw on the news, even if you don't include the news, if you say, hey, I don't want you just to take my word for it, I want you to go check it out yourself. I put a link down in the description, the video description down below, go check it out. You'll be hit with a link tax. You'll have to pay a tax for linking out to the original source material that you're commentating on. How many times have you linked out from your social media account? How many times, if you're a business owner, how many times have you linked out to other websites from your blog? One of the biggest things for search engine optimization, if you're a business owner and you're trying to get your blog or your content out there, one of the best ways to work yourself up in the search engines is to link out to relevant websites, to link out to websites that have good link juice, to get that link juice back to you. All of that now will be illegal unless you pay the link tax under Article 11 in the EU's new copyright protection, whatever. It's a bunch of laws that they're all trying to get passed as one big law. Article 13 and Article 11 just happen to be part of it. Now, this is going to suck for business owners. It's going to suck for you. It's going to suck for social media people. It's going to suck for online content creators. I think I've pretty much laid that out. Here's where it gets really scary. Right before they passed this, right before Article 11 and 13 passed yesterday, they added in something. They added in provisions for terrorism. And terrorism, of course, is vaguely defined. It could be anything from hate speech. It could be all the way up to plotting out and actually talking about doing violent acts. It could be something that just hurts somebody's feelings. Terrorism is very vaguely defined. And now they're saying that if you run any kind of, if you have a YouTube channel, if you have a Facebook account, if you have a blog, and somebody puts in the comments memes, you're held responsible for that. If somebody puts in the comments a link out to another website, you are held responsible for that. If somebody puts in the comments something that could be interpreted as terrorism, you are held responsible for that. And you have 1 hour to get it taken off of your website. And if you don't get it taken off your website within 1 hour, you can face criminal prosecution. You can face criminal action against you for something that people leave in the comments section of your website. Now, what does this mean for business owners out there, especially when it comes to comments? First of all, if you're in the EU, and like I said, the GDPR was only supposed to apply to the EU, and then they overreached and they tried to apply it to the entire world. If you're in the EU and possibly in the entire world, if nobody pushes back against this, that means you're going to have to start monitoring the comments. Imagine having to monitor every single YouTube comment. Imagine having to monitor every single Facebook comment or every single retweet and what's attached to the retweet or every single comment on your Twitter post. Imagine having to go through and monitor all that stuff and be held responsible for what people say in the comments section. That's insane. and then have to pay fines or face criminal actions for what other people put on your website. That's just crazy. The implications for what this is going to mean for the average small business owner, they're going to have to go back through their blogs. They're going to have to go and edit out all of the links on their website. Their SEO is going to plummet. Their relevance in Google and the other search engines is going to plummet. Their ability to network with other businesses is going to plummet. And the infrastructure to be able to do this, to be able to, what are we going to have to hire people to constantly monitor all of our social media comments? Are we going to have to be awake all hours of the day? So if somebody posts a comment on our blog at 1:30 in the morning, we have to be awake to make sure that it wasn't something that could be misconstrued as terrorism, or it's not something that includes a link out. They read an article of ours and they say, hey, this is really awesome. I was reading on this other website something very similar, and they put a link in there, and now we're held responsible. We have to pay a tax on that. That's fucking insane. Oh, the EU just sucks. So people are already talking about, how are we going to get around this? How is it going to be possible? I can't be awake 24 hours a day. I've got a business to run. I've got a life to live. I can't constantly be monitoring everything that gets posted on a comment on one of my Facebook threads. I can't constantly be monitoring what people say in the comment section of my YouTube video, or what people say in the comment section of my blog post. I can't do that and run a business at the same time. So people are talking about creating databases of everything that's copywritten out there, creating databases and algorithms that will run whenever you post something to your website. You'll have to run it through a database and make sure that it's not anything that's copywritten. Or if a commenter posts something on your blog post, they'll have to run it through a filter, run it through what they're calling upload filters, that are hooked to giant databases that include every single piece of copywritten material that's ever been produced. I mean, the amount of just the grandeur of a project like this is insane. No small business owner is going to be able to do this. So what they're saying is, well, hopefully the big businesses will create something like this. Google will create something like this, where it catalogs every single piece of copywritten material in the history of mankind. And you'll be able to pay Google a monthly fee to run everything that you do online through Google's upload filter, and they'll take care of it for you. That's just not practical. For the average business owner, that's just an unneeded expense. It's unnecessary. It's crazy. It's unimaginable. It's not realistic to expect business owners to be able to do this. Now, will having to do something like this cut into the profits of somebody like Google, somebody like Facebook? Yeah. They'll have to program in new algorithms. They'll have to buy access or create an entire database. Is this going to lead to abuses? Yeah, we already see copyright abuses on YouTube. This is just going to make it amplified. Will the small business owners be able to afford it? Absolutely not. This is going to be something that adds another hurdle to starting your own online business. This is going to be something that makes it more difficult to start your own business online. Will it hurt the big companies? A little bit. Will it hurt them as much as the small companies out there? Absolutely not. And that's why I don't think they'll push back as much. That's why we haven't seen the big pushback that we saw for like SOPA and PIPA. We haven't seen Google blackouts and YouTube blackouts and Facebook blackouts the way we did with these other laws that were very much in the same line. It's because if this regulation passes, if this gets enforced on all businesses equally, the big businesses will be okay. The big businesses will be able to comply with it. The small businesses won't. And when it comes to like Facebook will probably be okay. They'll lose a lot of money. They'll have to develop some extra algorithms, but they'll be able to come out on top of this regulation. All of their competition, like Minds.com or Steemit, will not be able to pass or to be compliant with these regulations. And so they will not be able to come out on top. And so these regulations, just like all regulations, will be They'll be able to be complied with by the big companies, and they won't be able to be complied with by the small companies. And therefore, they'll thin out the competition for the big companies. They'll thin out everybody that's competing against the big companies. And big companies love it when government regulators come in and thin out their competition. Another thing about this is, even if it doesn't apply to the entire world, it will apply to, or it will most likely apply to, the EU, where if you have a website, you might have to set up some kind of blocks where, and we'll talk about this here in a little bit, but it's already kind of happening on YouTube, where there's a lot of content creators who they're shut down to entire blocks of the world. They have entire segments of their fan base, of their audience, completely blocked out of viewing their videos because it's not compliant with what the EU says is good for their people to watch. It's digital book burning, and it's insane that, first of all, it's insane that the people are going along with this. It's insane that the governments are thinking this is a good idea, and it's insane that the tech firms are going along with this as well. So I'm going to step back. I'm going to get out of this for a little bit, and I'm just going to give my personal point, my personal take on this as a libertarian, as a free speech advocate, and as somebody who's not 100% online with the copyright system, at least the way that it is. I'm actually very anti-intellectual property. I think that intellectual property restricts an individual's freedom. If you buy a computer, if you buy a jump drive, if you buy a hard drive, you should be able to use it however you want, as long as you're not hurting somebody, as long as you're not using it to damage somebody. And that's where it becomes a gray area. Are you damaging somebody by copying something? Is copying the same as theft? Does somebody, because they created something, does that give them the ability to restrict how you're able to use your computer, what you're able to store on your computer? Somebody writes a song. Does that mean they have ownership of the vibrations of those sound waves now? Does that mean that if you buy a guitar and you play that song and sing that song, since they wrote the song, does that give them ownership of over how you can use your own vocal cords, how you can use the guitar that you bought and paid for? The whole concept is a moral gray area. I tend to think that just because somebody creates something doesn't mean that they have the right to restrict how other people use that thing. If you come up with an idea, does that mean other people aren't allowed to also use that idea? I'm not a big fan of that position. Now, as somebody who creates intellectual property, as somebody who has online courses, I don't want people stealing my courses. I don't want people, and I use the word stealing, I don't want people downloading my courses and making them available somewhere else, because that cuts into my profits. So I totally get the position, but from a business point of view, yeah, I think we need some sort of way to say, hey, the people that created it should be able to benefit off of it. As a libertarian, as somebody who's pro individual rights, I have that internal struggle. I'm not sure how or where I fall on the line. I'm still trying to figure it out for myself. So I don't have an easy answer for this. What I do know is, going way far overboard to the extreme, the way that the EU is going, is not the solution, is not what we should be moving towards. Here's the conspiracy theory part of me. Here's the part of me that says, what is this really about? Number one, I think that the big companies I think they're on board with this because it allows them to eliminate competition. Like I said, having the government step in and say, nope, you're not allowed to distribute this type of information. If you're the person that owns the copyright on that information, that's all good for you. We don't want people pirating our songs. We don't want people pirating our online courses. We don't want people pirating our movies. I get that. I think what this is really about, though, is gaining back control of the narrative. I think that this is really about censorship, because since the birth of the internet, we've seen this rise of alternative media. We've seen, before the internet, five corporations owned every point of view. They controlled every point of view. And they picked the talking points. They picked what was part of the conversation and what was not part of the conversation. And since the birth of the internet, since YouTube and since blogs and since social media have risen to the point where they are overshadowing the mainstream media, we see all different points of view sprouting up. We see narratives that aren't controlled by corporate America or corporate Europe or corporate oligarchy, whatever. We see points of view that aren't discussed on mainstream evening news being discussed on YouTube. We see points of view that are forbidden on CNN and forbidden on Fox News. We see them openly talked about on YouTube. We see them openly talked about on InfoWars. We see them openly talked about on Reddit. And the people that control the world, the evil reptilians, the people that have used the government to facilitate and lock down their monopoly on allowable opinion, they've lost that power over the last 20 years, and they want it back. And especially in the EU is just going full force into globalism. The EU is going full force into we need a multicultural. And again, I'm not anti-multi. I'm the product of multiculturalism, so I don't take the anti-multicultural perspective that a lot of people do. I understand where they're coming from. I don't 100% agree with it. I'm a product of multiculturalism, so without multiculturalism, I wouldn't even be here. I wouldn't be the man that I am. I might not even exist. So that being aside, though, a lot of people in the EU are not fans with what multiculturalism is doing to their communities. And I get it. I understand where they're coming from. The media, the government, they don't get it. They don't want them being able to voice their opinions. They don't want people like Tommy Robinson. How many times does it take me to say that correctly? They don't want him having a voice. They don't want people like Alex Jones having a voice. They don't want people like Paul Joseph Watson having a voice. They don't want people like Gavin McGinnis having a voice. And over the last couple of months, we've seen a lot of these people deplatformed. We've seen a lot of these people have their Twitter accounts banned, have their Facebook accounts banned. In the case of Alex Jones, having almost every single evidence of his existence on the internet eliminated in 24 hours. And then the only couple left that he had, I think he was still on Twitter. Twitter just got rid of him. I think he was still on the iTunes App Store, or the Apple App Store, and they just got rid of him. I think the only place you can find anything of Alex Jones related now is on the Google App Store. Digital unpersoning. the rise of populism, both in America and in a lot of Western European nations now, is something that the globalist, the people that are globally minded, they don't want this. They don't want the talking points that are raising the popularity of populism. They don't want people being able to, they see that the internet has opened up Pandora's box. They see that the genie's been let out of the bottle, and they're trying desperately to shove it back in. That's, in my opinion, that's what this is all about. It's not so much about protecting the corporations and their intellectual property. It's not so much about making sure that we have a way to fight terrorism online. I really think that the majority of what this is about is they've lost control of the narrative. The politicians realize that they've been working hand in hand with the corporations over the last 100 years to dictate what people are allowed to think about when they go to vote. They no longer have control over what people are allowed to think about when they go to vote. They're terrified that they're going to lose their power. So they're doing everything they can to work hand in hand with corporations to get the narrative back to where it's completely controlled by 5 corporate entities. And we, the little people, no longer have the ability to voice our opinions and grow an audience and expand the narrative beyond left versus right. In my opinion, that's what all of this is about. And in the EU, it's not even left versus right. It's ultra left versus moderate left, basically. So it's a little bit disturbing. It's a little bit disheartening. And what can we do to fight back? So there's a couple of things. I was actually just talking with one of my programmers yesterday, and he brought up a good point. He said, hey, what they're going to have to do is people are just going to have to say, we're not serving the EU. If you want to use our social media, if you live in the EU, too bad. We're just going to have to cut you off, which is not the ideal situation. As a business owner, I don't want to cut off the whole European Union. That's a lot of people to lose money, a lot of people to lose their information, a lot of people to lose the ability to market to. I don't want to do that as a business owner. But as a business owner, if I don't want to comply with these crazy new Article 11 and Article 13 provisions, I'm pretty much put in the position where that's what I'm going to have to do. We're going to have to say, hey, if you want to buy and use Podcast Blastoff, I'm sorry, you just can't do it in the EU. We don't serve the EU. Google, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all of these big corporations, if they took a stand, if they said, hey, we're just not, you know, we're not going to implement all these algorithms. We're not going to implement all these upload filters. We're not going to hire an entire squad full of people to monitor every single comment that gets left on our websites. It's just not feasible. We can't afford it. We can't do it. It's going to cut way too deep into our profits to make this a feasible and worthwhile pursuit. We're just not going to do it. We're just going to shut down YouTube in the EU. If you live in the EU, sorry, your politicians fucked you. You just can't watch YouTube in the EU anymore. If you live in the EU, sorry, your politicians fucked you. You just can't have a Facebook profile anymore. That's just the way it is. That's one thing. If businesses did this, if Google, if Facebook, if Podcast Blastoff, if all of these other businesses said, hey, we're just not going to serve to the EU, that would have a huge impact. The people in the EU would be like, oh, what the hell have our politicians done to us? They took away our Facebook. They took away our Snapchat. They took away our Instagram. They would have hell to pay for that. The other option is people are going to have to start using VPN, virtual private networks. People are going to have to start logging, especially if this happens, if people start blocking off access to the European Union, people in the European Union are going to have to start using VPNs. They're going to have to start going skirting around the ISP servers, and they're going to have to start figuring out other ways to get, and that's a workaround. That's not the ideal situation. Another situation that's also a workaround, which might actually be more ideal, is decentralizing the internet. Right now, the way the internet works is it's all centralized. It's all hosted on servers, and you have to go to that server and pull the information from there. But with what blockchain has done, with there's programs like BitChute, there's programs like DTube, there's all these different options now that allow people to decentralize the hosting of websites. And in the very near future, I wouldn't be surprised if people start coming up with an entire new version of the internet that's completely decentralized, so it can't be shut down by legislation. It can't be shut down by local politicians, because instead of being hosted in one place and instead of being able to go after one person, it's hosted on all of the computers of everybody who's engaging with it. And you can't just go after one person, because you'd have to go after the entire world at that point in order to do anything. And when it gets to that point, again, it's going to be just one more uncorking of the bottle and the genie getting out. And I don't think they'll be able to put it back in at that point. So is there an upside to this? Yes, there is an upside to this, because people are going to push back against this. People are going to figure out ways to get around it. People might end up inventing an entire new version of the internet that helps us avoid bureaucratical bullshit like this coming out of the EU. The other good thing about this is it's one of those situations where you're caught in a downward spiral. You make a bad decision, people get pissed and they don't like that bad decision, so they start to leave. So you make another bad decision to try and force them to stay, and that just pushes them to leave even more. This happens in abusive relationships. This happens in business. When business owners do something and their customer base starts leaving, and so they start attacking their customer base, and that just causes more of their customer base to leave. I think that this is also happening right now in the EU. the Brexit happened or was supposed to happen and is getting fought back against right now. People voted to leave the EU. Now other people are saying they want to leave the EU. The EU is scared. They're cracking down. They don't want people to discuss what the horrors of the EU, so they're cracking down on free speech. But really, all this is going to do is cause more people in the EU to want to leave the EU. Now, instead of just being dissatisfied with the immigration issues, they're also going to be dissatisfied with the fact that they're not even allowed to talk about it, and they're not even allowed to get on the internet and discuss it. And so now it's compounding issues, and the EU trying to fight their bad decision is going to make more bad decisions, and it's just going to lead to more people waking up to the tyranny that they're living under the EU, and more people voting to have their own version of the Brexit. So we'll see what happens. I'm overall a little bit terrified and a little bit hopeful for the future. Let me know what you think, though. If you've got an opinion about this, leave it in the comments down below. Unless it's terrorism or linking out to another website, I'm going to have to delete. No, I'm not. Fortunately, I don't have to worry about that yet, because the EU hasn't tried to expand this to the rest of the world. My name's Nathan Frazier. I hope you enjoyed this show. I am out of here. Deuces. Hey, I hope you enjoyed the show. Let me ask you a question real quick. Actually, let me ask you two questions. Do you want to help support my lavish lifestyle? More importantly, do you want to turn your business into something that can help you support a lavish lifestyle of your own? If so, if the answer to either of those two questions is yes, you need to head on over to freemarketsquad.com, find out more about how you can join the Free Market Squad, how you can improve your marketing, how you can improve your communications with your marketplace, how you can turn your business and your marketing into an automated selling machine. Get all the information you need over at freemarketsquad.com. One more time, freemarketsquad.com. I'm out of here. Deuces.